Good afternoon, and thanks for tuning in to the channel Final Bell. I'm Lacey Shippey on the Rural Radio Network, and joining me for today's Final Bell is Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics. And Mike, we saw a split trade here in our grain markets today with that uncertainty continuing around the war in Iran, hanging over things. We have that supposed ceasefire and the Strait of Hormuz still not open as it should be. So what are you taking away from today's trade underneath all of that?
Yeah, I'll give you a quick update. Since the middle part of the session, quite a bit has happened in the Middle East at this stage of the game. Then we can talk about the report and the context of that, Lacey. And it matches up with a lot of the analysis that I've pushed out to clients and subscribers, in that the ceasefire, I'm calling a quasi-ceasefire, it brings with it a very strange price action in commodities and the risk on versus risk off mindset that's developed this week. And what we found out, as you say, earlier this morning, only about five ships had crossed through the strait on Wednesday. We're just getting word right now that Saudi Arabia's oil ministry is saying that they have halted operational activities at several energy facilities due to recent attacks. Right now, they're putting the loss on the east-west pipeline as a result of this attack at about 700,000 barrels per day of throughput. And recall that the east-west pipeline is what Saudi Arabia has been ramping up. It's been pumping out, I want to say, around 3.5 to 4.5 million barrels a day. And it's steadily been increasing the last 35, 40 days since this conflict started, to bypass the Strait of Hormuz, go all the way across the Saudi Arabian Peninsula over into the Red Sea ports. This is pretty substantial news because it puts right back on the front burner the loss of supply and the loss of supply infrastructure and energy infrastructure. And one of the best gauges that I've been using, and this kind of drills right back into the grains and to a lesser degree the livestock market, is the physical cash price that is being paid in the world right now, especially based upon the Brent crude futures, which is the London-based crude futures. And so if you wanted to go to London, or if you were in the Middle East and you needed to buy a barrel of crude oil right now, it is actually about $144 a barrel in terms of physical spot price off of the Brent crude in London. And I'll just give you an idea, before the ceasefire, right before the ceasefire, that previous high set back a week ago or so was about $141 a barrel. So as this quasi ceasefire has taken place, we've actually seen higher highs now in the physical spot price of cash Brent crude because of the Middle East conflict. And so when you look at the USDA report through that lens, it continues to suggest that the trade is, in my opinion, neither looking at the supply problems in terms of what we could see in both the energy and the grains, and also the cost of production that we're going to have to be paying to be able to produce grains this coming year in this current 26-27 crop year. So between that and the weather models turning drier and opening up more of a dry area, unfortunately, over Nebraska, eastern Colorado, western Kansas, in the last 24 hours, I went home on Thursday afternoon feeling very strongly that there's very little weather or Middle East premium in wheat or corn as a result of the report.
And there seemed to be almost a sense of relief, it seemed, over the markets yesterday with the news of a ceasefire. Would it be accurate to say that maybe that's a little premature given what we've learned today?
I think that's very accurate, because this goes back to what's risk on and what's risk off. And the market has chosen that they will go risk on for inflation-linked assets like the stock market, like the precious metals, like the U.S. dollar going lower. And they went risk off for energy-related assets and energy-linked assets. That really makes no sense at all, in my opinion, especially when it comes to the grains following the energy-related assets when they had very little premium to begin with. I think before the move to the downside in energies yesterday, we were already 40 to 45 cents off our highs in the wheat. Now, in hindsight, with the world wheat ending stocks coming in at 200 and 283.1 million metric tons versus 276.9 last month. That seems like the market's got it very right. The market was very right in hindsight with the USDA report of essentially buying beans and selling the grains. But we still have to go back and I think readdress these issues, kind of to your point.
And speaking of buying beans and selling off in the corn and wheat, we saw beans end the day higher today. And some news, some talk about China coming back into the market here a little bit. Is it a little too early to look ahead at that meeting and get a little too excited about it in the bean market, considering that we still have a lot of turmoil to get through until then?
Yeah, I mean, this is where it goes back to yesterday. It barely got any news at all that the United States was going to put a 50% tariff immediately on any country supplying weapons to Iran. And so you automatically think of China and Russia. I think as far as your question specifically is, if we continue on this path, the big question will be, how far can the trade stretch the bean-corn ratio? How far can we take beans higher and wheat and corn lower? And that's really the question we're going to have to answer here if they want to try and put this China premium into the market. And I think there's already some in there when we come into this upcoming meeting by the two countries. But it's very clear from my standpoint, the soybean crush numbers, the USDA, I think, is very accurate on those numbers. They're showing about a 7% increase in domestic crush versus last year. That matches up nicely with what the EPA gave us. The problem, Lacey, always goes back to the corn exports. Here we are running 30 to 35% ahead of last year. USDA's 3.3 billion bushel export number is only 15.5% higher than last year. Something's going to have to give, in my opinion.
Well, thank you, Mike. Coming up after the break, we'll continue our discussion on trade today. You're listening to the Channel Final Bell here on the Rural Radio Network.